We are going to continue with our theme this month, which is back to church. Back to church. We want to talk a little bit this morning what the church is and how do you come back to it. So we'll just launch right into this. Hope you take the sheet out that was given when you came in. There's a fill-in aspect at the back of that sheet that you can follow along with this morning. So we're going to launch right into this, and here's the first point. The number one focus of God, is to build his church. His eye is on his church. His heart is towards his church. The efforts that God is putting forth is to build his church. He said it right from the beginning when he asked, who do people say that I am? And they said different things. Peter spoke up and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know, that's an eternal divine revelation. And then he went on and say, and I also say to you that on this rock I will build my church. This declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's going to build something. He's still in the process of building it. He's building his church. God's eye is upon his church. It's the focus and the center of everything. Listen to what Ephesians 1:22 says. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of God is in his church. He is ministering to the world today through his church, and he's given Christ to be head over the church, and the church is like his body. We are members of the body of Christ, and that's the church. And so we are the representative of Christ in the world today. We're his church. At 12 years of age, Jesus was in the temple, and his parents came back to get him, and they discovered him there, and they asked him, well, you know, why are you here? And he said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? The business of the Lord is to build his church. He is focused on his church. I keep saying it, but I hope it sinks into us. God loves his church. The church is his bride. His attention, his focus, his energy is put towards his church. And if we're going to be about our Father's business, then we need to gain and have that same perspective that I want to be about the church. My efforts are going to be towards the church because that's what God's effort is. The fullness of God is the church. And so I wanted to direct our attention this morning on the thing you should be focusing on, and that is the church. Now, there's two aspects of the church. One is the invisible aspect, and that is what we're calling the universal church. And then there's the visible aspect of the church, which is the local church, this natural local churches in different localities. So the invisible church, no one's ever seen the universal church. The universal church is across all generations, all time, and it's around the world, everywhere, China, Russia, Brazil, wherever you want to call, all over the world, is this church. And so it's everywhere. It's everyone that's ever confessed the Lord. It's everyone who ever will confess the Lord is part of the universal church. And so I really love the universal church, don't you? I love all those saints in Africa and all the saints in China and all the saints there. I have no problems with any of them. I get along with all of them. I have a good heart towards them all. I can pray for them and I have nothing's between us. I mean, you know why? Because I don't see them. It's there. Christ has his church, but I don't see that. It's an invisible aspect. It's the universal church. But there's another aspect of the church, and that's the visible church. And the visible church is the local church, a locality that has a time and a place. It has substance. It's tangible. I can meet the local church. I can attend the local church and look and see its churches. And I want you to know, we sort of think all God's concerned about is the universal church. He just wants to get more and more people saved, which is true. But he's going to do it through the means of the local church. He's using the local church to reach the world. And so I can get along with everybody in the universal church, but now I'm in this local body, this local church, with a group of people I see every Sunday and I interact with and I'm working with and we're doing ministry together. And now I'm not quite as happy with everybody. There's a few of those people I have a problem with. They're not acting right, or their attitude's wrong, or they're not pulling their share. And so I can get upset with the local church. And that is where we're at. We have to come to see the value and the importance of the local church, even though it's imperfect, it's made up of people, but it still is church. And God's eyes are still on the church. We talked about Saul, after seeing Stephen martyred, he goes out with a vengeance. He's going to exterminate this church. It says he's breathing out slaughter and threatenings and slaughter, and he's arresting Christians and he's pulling them off to jail. And then he gets letters to go to Damascus, and let's get the Christians down at Damascus. So he's on his way on the horse and he's heading to Damascus to get the Christians there. Suddenly a light shines out of heaven, knocks him to the ground, and he hears this voice. And the voice says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." Paul could have thought, "Jesus? I've never met Jesus, heard of him. All these followers are following him. They're distorting has been established. But I've never persecuted Jesus." Well, who was he persecuting? His body. The members of his body. And Jesus identified with the treatment of the members of the church and said, "You're persecuting me," because he's the head and we're the body. We're members of the body of Christ, and we are members in particular. And so we connect with the universal church through the local church. I mean, I can't connect with the universal church. I mean, I can't get the handle around it. But where I connect with the universal church is through the local church, a local body that's identifiable, that's human, but also imperfect. And we can not appreciate the local church like we should. And we can mistreat the local church. You know, there's a time it describes of a judgment, and everybody's brought before him, the Lord, and the Lord says to this group of people, he said, "You know, I was in prison and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. I needed clothing and you clothed me." And they responded and said, "Lord, we haven't done that to you. We don't remember visiting you in prison. We don't remember giving you food." And Jesus responded and said, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brother, you've done it to me. You know, the Lord takes personally the way you treat other members of the body. We say, well, that's just Joe, or that's just Pete, or that's just so-and-so. Not realizing, yes, that's who they are, but they also are a member of the body of Christ. And how I treat them, the Lord takes it the way I'm treating him. I want you to see God's heart is in the local church. God's heart is with his people. And so we need to have a new appreciation when we say back to church. But what is the church? It's not a nebulous spiritual entity, the church, that I can love and appreciate. No, it's getting down to be particularly the people that I'm interacting with, because that's the local church. Now, does God really see the local church? Well, it tells us in Revelation 2 and 3, he does. He actually wrote letters. And those letters were delivered to tangible locations. The church at Ephesus, the church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, the church at the Laodicean church. There's seven churches. They were local localities. I just read about how Paul wrote that it starts off in Galatians. And to the churches in Galatia, there were different local churches in the province of Galatia. And he's writing a letter to them. It was delivered to them. He sees the local church. And listen, he evaluates the local church. You can read the letters in Revelation. He's looking at the local church and he says, you did this well, and you know, I really encouraged about this, but you're coming short here, and you need to repent, you need to change some things. He sees the local church. Now, sometimes that scares me a little bit, because I think he looks down and sees KW Christian Church, or KW Christian Fellowship, as an entity. He sees us as a body. He sees us with traits that are good and some traits are bad. He sees the leaders of the local church. His eye is on his church. He wants his church to represent him, because we're the fullness of the Lord to the world. So when I say that, I need to realize, well, I need to have a new appreciation, not just for the church, but for the local church. Not just the local church in general, but I need to have a greater appreciation for KW Christian Fellowship. We're not the only church, but we are a church. We're a local church. And we identify with the universal church through the local church. It's like this finger can say, I'm part of the church, or part of this body. Finger represents us too. But it's because it's connected somewhere. It's connected here. But if we don't see the value of the local church, we'll just sort of float around. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't really go anywhere. I visit different places. It's like the finger's here, and tomorrow it's here, and over here, and sometimes it gets here, and we go, oh, no, I don't want to be there. But we don't want to identify somewhere particularly. Well, where do you belong? Well, I belong to Christ. He's my Lord. You know what that means? I don't belong anywhere. Or they'll say, the Lord teaches me. That means I follow my own thinking about what I think what the Lord wants. I mean, it's not a good situation. We're to join a local church. Submit to a local body. God sees our welfare being in that local church and in that local body. So we need to recognize what the church is. The church isn't just the building, although in English we say it's the church. It's not the service. Because even though we say, well, church starts at 9:30, when does church end? And so we can go through this process of the church being the service. And there's an aspect of truth in that as we come together. But the thing is, that's not what the church is. In the early church, they didn't have meetings in a building. They met from house to house. They broke their bread with gladness. A lot of times, communion was served out of a common meal that they were having together. It was a very practical thing. The church, and I put in your notes, the local church is people in relationship with God and each other. You have to have your relationship with God. It's not just coming to this local church. You have to be born of God's Spirit. But then you find your place in the local church. It's a relationship with God, but also a relationship with each other. A commitment to each other. Saying, I belong to this body here. And together we belong to God, or because we belong to God, we have joined to be a local expression of the body of Christ. I wonder how the Lord evaluates us. I said in the first service, I said, you know, he might look down and say, I'm really proud of you, KW Christian Fellowship. You did a really good job on the Walk of Lights, and you reached the community, and you shared the true meaning of Christmas with people. But then he might go on and say, but this aspect, you know, I don't like, and you're missing it here, and you need to change. So we need to have a sense of what the church is. The church is people in relationship with him and with each other. So let's just go on with our notes here. What holds the church together? Well, the first thing is we're all on the same foundation. And it was upon the rock that he was building this church. And the rock was the declaration, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just because people get together and call themselves a church doesn't make them the church. If they're not on the foundation, if they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if they haven't made that Lord their Lord and Savior, then they're not on the rock. They might be good and do a lot of good things, but if they're not speaking the gospel, if they're not preaching that, they're not on the foundation. The Bible says the foundation is Jesus Christ and the apostles and what the apostles taught. That's the foundation. So if you want it, the first thing you need to realize, am I built on the foundation? Now that comes through your relationship with God. But then it's an expressed through our expression of our being together and working together. It says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're all a living stone. We have been made alive through the Spirit of God. But you're not enough just to be a pile of living stones. We're being built up a spiritual house. It's just like a house has stone upon stone and so forth. In fact, it even talks about when they were building this Tower of Babel, which is the false church. It said they had brick for stone and they had slime for mortar. Bricks just stamped out. Everybody the same. Everybody follow the rules. That's bricks. But we're not. We're stones. We have different shapes, different colors, different textures. He's putting the house together. A beautiful presentation. And the house together offers up spiritual sacrifices. Oh, man. The things we do. The list of announcements. To us, that's just sort of a tangible human. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're planning this. We don't realize this is a spiritual sacrifice. This is natural human people, but together he's allowing us to do stuff. And as you contribute your part, then you're going to receive the benefit of being in that local church. Here's the next point. Although everyone is different, we value each other as important and necessary. See, we're all different members in the church. We have different abilities, different personalities, different educations, different talents, different skills. God, and we can tend to, oh, that person's more important than this person. But the Bible tells us over and over again, especially in 1 Corinthians 12, that there's no one greater than someone else. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, not just some, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So you need to have a sense, okay, where does God put me? And he is pleased to have you in a particular local church. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 12:21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head say to the feet, I don't need you. Everyone's important. Everyone's significant. Everyone's different. We don't have the same function. We have differing functions, but each one's important in its own way. So you need to see that for yourself, but you need to see other people. You know, I think one of the things I have grown in over the years is the appreciation for every member of the church. There's some members that their talents are visible, their involvement is visible, and you really appreciate those. There's other people that maybe you see them less. You think their involvement's less, or they're not capable of doing some things that someone else does. But boy, never fall into this thing of some are more important than others. And I think I've grown in, no matter who I meet and whoever I see, and no matter how much I feel they might be contributing to the church as far as talents and gifts and abilities, man, they are valuable in the sight of God. God loves that person. In fact, whatever I do towards that person, the Lord says, as much as you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Pick the person that you think is the least in the body of Christ. How do you treat them? How do you act with them? How do you cooperate with them? How do you pray for them? The very least, whatever you do, the Lord says, you've done that to me. You're doing your part. The church is being what I want it to be. I'm building my church. Many times we say, Lord, I want to shine for you. I want to knock off the rough edges. Polish me, Lord. And we think like God's going to bring some divine, heavenly sandpaper down. And he's going to rub your life. And he's going to shine and polish you and knock off your rough edges. But God doesn't do that. You know what he usually does? He puts you next to an abrasive Christian that knocks the edges off of you, that grates on you. And God says, that's okay, because I'm perfecting you. First of all, he's perfecting you to show love to people. But he also wants to use you to benefit that person. And rather than just saying, why do they act that way? And why do they do that? And we'd be better off without them. You know, you gather around and you say, God loves that person. And maybe they are missing it, but what can I do to pray for them and encourage them and strengthen them and involve them and draw them in? I'm part of the body of Christ. I want to be about my Father's business. I want to build the church. We have to see what the church is. The church is right in front of us and we don't see it. We're like, you know, we're persecuting the church. And the Lord speaks to us, says, you're persecuting me. I'm not persecuting you, Lord. I pray for you. I'm trying to cleanse your church rather than build his church and strengthen his church. This is what the Lord wants for us. So although everyone is different, we value each other as important and necessary. And so what holds us together when we have these tensions and conflicts? Here's the next point. Ligaments of contentment and commitment. I'm sorry. Ligaments of commitment. Here's what it says in Colossians 2:19. Not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So we're nourished and knit together, and the joints are held together by ligaments, and it causes the whole body to grow and increase. You need to have a commitment to the local church. I don't mean the universal church, to the local church. You have to plant yourself in a local church. It says those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish and bear much fruit. If you want to flourish and bear much fruit, you have to ask yourself, am I planted in the house of the Lord? Have I allowed my roots to go down in the house of the Lord? Or am I just sort of floating around on the surface? I'm there, but I'm not really planted. See, the roots establish you when the winds blow and the storms blow. The roots just dig and hold stronger. And so it is, the ligaments that hold us together are ligaments of love, acceptance, forgiveness, commitment to one another. I'm not so easily shaken. See, sometimes people in a church will say, boy, they've got a church. They got a problem in that church. They need to take care of that. When you're committed to a local church, it's, we have a problem. I wonder what God would want me to do to remedy that. It's a whole different point of view. Because I have a ligament that's holding me. Now, let me just quickly say this. Some of you have heard me share this before at other times, but a joint is where two members come together. So this is a joint, an elbow joint. And it's held together by muscles. So there's a muscle, a bicep on this side. When that muscle contracts, it pulls it up. But there's also muscles on the other side. When it contracts, it pulls it down. And so we work in tension and opposition to one another. We think everybody should be the same. Everybody should think like me. But if everybody contracted, it would just be paralysis. The movement comes when one member pulls and the arm can go down, but this member relaxes so it can go down. If you're feeding yourself, it's back and forth. Got to relax, pick up the food, okay, bring it to your mouth, then they relax, go down. There's natural example, but you have to think, okay, my relationship with the church, where am I thinking everybody should pull just the way I am? See, you have a function. You are to pull that way. But sometimes you just need to relax and let God allow the other member to function. And so there's a back and forth. There's a flexibility. There's movement that comes. And even though the members are operating in opposition to one another, we're accomplishing something. We accomplish things when we work together. And most accomplishment is the body functioning together to do it. And so God help us to really make a commitment. In 1776, we hear a lot about the Declaration of Independence, where the colonies made this statement of independence from the crown, and it launched them on a path. But I think in the light of the church, we should make a declaration of interdependence, where we need one another. And you need to declare it. you need to declare it to God. God, really plant me in a local church. Help me have a love for people. Plant me there. Help me, Lord. Declare your interdependence to your family. We need the church. Well, why are we always going to church? Because that's where we belong. That's where God's put us. That's where we're going to grow. That's where we're going to be strengthened. That's where we're going to be corrected. That's where we're going to be taught. It's the members functioning one towards the other that causes us to grow. And you have to be committed to the local church in order to experience the benefit of the local church. Otherwise, it's a pick and choose. And yeah, I like that, but I don't like that. Oh, let's go somewhere else next Sunday. And let's just keep shopping, floating around. Someone says, a bunch of church hoppers and shoppers. They're looking for something. And there's a time when you do that. I'm not saying there's not a time where you're assessing where God wants you to be. But he will soon tell you. And at that point, you need to put your roots down and say, this is where I am. Make a declaration of interdependence upon that, the members of that church, and receive the benefit of it. Let's look at the value of the local church, and we'll just go over these quickly. The first one is someone is looking out for your soul. Someone's watching for your soul. Listen to this verse in Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. You're not meant to go through life and go through your spiritual walk on your own. You are meant to be cared for. Your soul needs watching. And that happens in the local church, where you are open to hear people speak into your life. Because it says, if you don't, they're going to give an... They got to give... It's almost like the Lord says when you're in the judgment. Okay, who was watching for this person's soul? You know, did you correct them? Did you encourage them? Did you pray for them? Who was watching? And said, they got to give an account. And he said, you respond in a way that they can do it with joy. Because if you don't have that, it's unprofitable to you. I really believe there are many, many Christians who have no one watching for their soul. They may be attending a church, but they've never belonged to a church enough that they would allow the church to function in their life in the way that it should. That cautions you when you start doing something. That corrects you. That teaches you the word of God. They watch for your soul. Wow, that's a good question to ask yourself. Who's watching for my soul? Who's watching for your soul? Have you made a declaration of interdependence? Have you committed to a local church? Have you actually joined a local church? Here's the next one. The leaders help us to grow and equip us for service. And let me just read these verses. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. That's the member, you and I, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen, that we should no longer be children. You're not going to grow up unless you're part of a local church. Because part of the growth is happening in relationship with other people. Tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. People that are not established in a local church, they blow over every new trend and every new fad that comes down. They just blow them back and forth because they're not established in a local church. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, the joint is supplying something, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You have a part to share. You might belittle it. You might think it's unimportant. Other people might belittle it. But you have a part in the body of Christ. Every place where you're joined with another member, there's a flow of life. And we'll get to that in a moment. Here's the next one. Each person has a unique gift that is meant to benefit others. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Each one of you have a gift that if you used it, it would benefit someone else. And we're encouraged here to use our gift, to recognize your gift, and the leaders help you do that. And other members around you help you to find your place. Paul said this, I've planted, Paulus have watered, but God gives the increase. There was another leader, Apollos, and he said, I've planted, Apollos has come and watered, but you know what? The increase comes from God. But he's using the instrumentality of members of a local church to cause us to grow. So here's the last points. What is the connection process? When we say back to church, what do we mean back to church? Well, hopefully you see that the church is not nebulous. The church is very tangible. It has locations. It has time when it meets, but it's not just formalized meetings. It's the connection of people coming together. And you come because we're on the same foundation. And I put it this way, you're baptized into the universal church. You're baptized into one body. Without a connection with the Lord, you can't have a connection with each other. So it starts through, and isn't interesting, even our connection with the universal church is through coming to a local body and being baptized. What, when the voice spoke to Paul and said, you know, why are you persecuting me? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Paul said, what must I do? You know what the scripture says? He said, the voice from heaven said, go into the city and it'll be told to you what you should do. He went to the city and this Holy Spirit said to Ananias, a Christian, go and visit this man. He's praying. Now this is the guy that's persecuting them. And Barnabas has to come in and tell him to be baptized. And so even Paul being born into the universal church, the entrance point was through the local church, meeting a Christian who would tell him the gospel. I don't know whether this sinks in like I hope it does. I just want you to have a new appreciation for the local church. And when you say back to church, it might be back to a connection with the local church. Now, let's finish it this way. The last connection point is heart-to-heart connections with others in the local church. Heart-to-heart connections. So how do you join a local church? Go through the membership class, fill out the application, start to attend all the meetings, start to contribute financially, get involved in some kind of ministry. And after you've done that for a year, you say, yeah, I'm really part of that church. I've really joined the church. And yet I've noticed people can do all those things and never have a heart-to-heart connection with someone else. They have a heart for ministry. They don't have a heart for God's ministers, which is the church. And so they miss something. They miss the interaction. They miss the support. Yeah, they're attending the meetings. yeah, they're involved in this, but they still feel empty. They feel still like I'm not flourishing. And they become critical. Well, other people should be doing it. I've done my part. Why don't they do their part? And so you're doing the work of the Lord, but you're judgmental of everyone else in the church because they're not doing what you are doing. You need to see to join the church. You have to have a heart-to-heart connection with another member of the body of Christ. Now, that's a spiritual thing. You know how I find it expresses itself? You carry someone else's heart in your heart. And someone else is carrying your heart in their heart. They're thinking about you. They're praying about you. When something goes wrong, they're there, not because I should. Oh, they're a member. I should give them a call. It's like you can't help but give them a call because you're carrying their heart in your heart. And you're concerned about them, and you love them, and you're praying for them, and you're encouraging them, and all the things that the church is to do. It's happening automatically through a heart-to-heart connection. And so you join the church not by attendance, not by involvement. I mean, all of those are expressions of joining the church. But you really join the church when you find someone else that you connect with and you pray for and you have a relationship. And every time you get together, you feel strengthened, you feel encouraged. Every time you have a coffee, you come away encouraged. When you're going through a difficult time, you know who you're calling. It doesn't have to be the pastor. Perhaps it is in certain situations. But we are to be interconnected heart to heart so that the church is functioning the way it's meant to function. But it's a spiritual connection, not a physical connection. But the spiritual connection will express itself in physical connections. I hope I've done a good enough job to express to you what I'm feeling today and what I think God would say to us as KW Christian Fellowship, that we'd have a new appreciation for how God sees us as a church. We'd have a new appreciation for people in the church. Really, man, I'm sitting next to Christ. And he's going to judge me how I treat this person. Jesus is judging that I'm treating him that way. Because there's not one person he doesn't love and care about, concern for. And he's actually had you there to minister to them. So back to church. May it be so. Let's stand together. I'd ask the prayer team if they'd come up, stand here at the front. This prayer team is more than just a prayer team. This is connection with the church. These are representatives of Christ, imperfect, but they're growing in the Lord. And they're willing to pray with you, connect with you. Maybe you need to come and just make a declaration of interdependence this morning. And say, you know what? God spoke to me today. I realize I haven't put the value on the local church. And I'm missing what God wants me to have. Just pray for me, encourage me. Let them pray for you. Let God change your heart. Oh, man, what if we just, every time you looked at person, at someone, you wouldn't see their faults, but you see their potential. That we look at people the way God looks at us, hope he does. He looks past our faults. He sees our need. We are the members of the body of Christ. Everyone you come in relationship with, you should be looking past their faults. Oh, they're obvious. You see other people's faults. We just don't see our own faults. But we need to look past those faults and pray for them. Say, God, what, is there a verse you want me to share? What would you want me to do? How can I benefit that person's life? and just follow the leading. Wow, we'd build each other up. We'd be strong. We'd be healthy. And we'll have a greater influence in this world because he's working through his local church. So I'm going to invite you to come forward. You can just come now. I'm going to come down and be here as well. And we want to pray with you. Just want to connect with you. A physical, tangible, outward expression of meeting with God. So, Lord, we thank you for this service. Thank you for these truths. Would you do what we can't do now by your Holy Spirit? Would you speak the truth of it? Would you take the application of this message to our hearts this morning? May we be a strong, healthy member of a strong, healthy church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.